For the week ending November 30th, 2012, we're talking about the Wii Mini, Gender in Video Games, Mistcraft, Gravity Rush, and Good Burger. Welcome to the third level. My name's Cole Ross.
My name's Dennis Furia.
David Mysmith.
Ben Merkel.
And welcome to the level. That's a pretty good theme song. I know that I'm saying this myself, and I made it. That's a thing that I did. It's pretty good. I like it.
I listened to it a second time, and I really enjoyed it as well. Yeah. So. Good on you.
It's fun. I can't write songs for shit, but when you're talking about like 15 seconds to like do a little piece of audio branding, hey, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he is an artiste with the ditty.
With the ditty, the jingle, as you were.
The jingle.
Yeah, you know, it's the holiday time, you know, we're getting up there, and I have to say, if you're going to jingle, you might as well jingle all the way.
Wow.
So time for the brief, where we talk about news stories and things like that. And I've got one that I'll lead off with because it's brief. Yes. It's also not surprising in that Nintendo makes a hardware misstep. Who knew? Boing.
Do, 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 do.
Marr. So, yes, Nintendo recently, it was leaked by Best Buy from one of their product listings, and then Nintendo confirmed, at least in Canada, Nintendo is going to be offering the Wii Mini. Okay? So this is a smaller version of the Wii, if that's even possible. It's already a pretty tiny box. It's got like a black matte finish with it almost looks like it has a case around it or like around the edges that's dark red. Looks okay. I don't like the black and the red mixing together. It doesn't look like Nintendo to me. Like I associate Nintendo with pastel colors, you know, the orange and the purple and all that, especially like
evil
white.
Evil Nintendo.
Yeah. This is like, this thing just basically like all it's missing is the goatee. It'll be the Wii's evil twin, but it's got the red Wiimote and nunchuck. And I really like those. So that's cool. But what's not cool are the limitations that are being placed on it. So it's being released at $99.99. Which, you know, it's an okay price for a thing. But it lacks GameCube compatibility, which isn't too big of a deal because the most recent Wiis, at least since the winter of 2011, I think, don't have GameCube compatibility. But this is the kicker. The Wii Mini doesn't have any internet compatibility to it.
Ooh. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I need to take a shower. Hold on.
Everybody I know who owns a Wii, like in my family, they really only use it for Netflix, and this can't do that.
Also, now I can't play Call of Duty 4 with my friends on the Wii.
This is true. Also, Nintendo was going around and like destroying everybody's Wii and replacing it with a Wii Mini. Will this make like that doesn't make any sense?
So who's the target for this? Like I'm trying to think of a character profile or like a life situation.
Okay,
Canadian.
Well, people who don't pay attention.
They don't have a lot of infrastructure up there. You know, it's basically you ever seen the TV show Trailer Park Boys? It's like that.
Yeah.
Except there's more there's more igloos and huskies. However, okay, so this is from the article on Polygon.com. Nintendo says it's a great value. Quote: "It's a great value for first-time Wii owners who just want to jump in."
And they're using the Xbox slogan for it.
Jump in! Oh, you're right. Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize
good catch.
That. Yeah. To the lawyers. No.
I feel like that's actually. Probably a good description of who would buy this. This strikes me as being very similar to the person that buys like Call of Duty for the Game Boy because they don't realize that's not the same thing as like the Call of Duty people actually play. I feel like this, the basic target market will be person who hears that Wii is cool and, you know, knows nothing about actual video games and just buys the first system they see.
But who is still hearing about the Wii for the first time? Like, well, oh, the Wii, really? No, tell me what that's about.
Never.
Well, I'm not saying for the first time. Oh, sorry.
Never underestimate the consumer's ability to be price sensitive. Like, you think that there's a floor to this. Like, you know, like the system came out at $250, and like, who wouldn't spend $250 on this? You know, that's nothing. Like, I threw out $250 worth of pennies yesterday. You know, I'm rolling in it from
that's
this
a lot of pennies.
From this sick. But yeah, my car runs a lot better now that it's not weighed down all those pennies. No, I'm rolling in this sick podcast cash, this pod cash, as you will. As you do. But people are so price sensitive. Cheap is the word, right? So,
yeah, but I got a Wii, a regular Wii, for $99 last year.
Right.
There's a Black Friday deal, but still. Like,
yeah. And the Black Friday deal this year, I think a couple stores were selling them for $89.99, which was the big thing. But this is, you know, this is the going rate. So, again, I'm going to cite my retail experience as a thing here. So if you don't like that, too bad. But, you know, just like whenever a new system comes out, like it's like somebody chummed the water. Like, there's just a little bit of blood. Like, oh, gosh, where's this thing? I want the old one. There are people who consistently exist one generation behind. Like that is where they live.
Oh, really?
See, I always wondered that, because I always wondered why GameStop bought, you know, like, where did my, Nintendo 64 go?
In reality, it went to a dude. It went to somebody who didn't want to pay for a GameCube. And that GameCube that he got eventually, like, he got it because he didn't want to pay for a Wii. So, like, this makes a lot of business sense. It's like, okay, people will look at the price of the Wii U, you know, $300 or whatever it is, and they're not going to want to pay that. So let's put this out here. And, you know, they can make this for, like, dirt cheap.
I have to imagine, yeah.
I mean, like, the economies of scale on this, just crazy, right? They've already mastered it. So I can imagine this coming to America is basically what I'm going to say. The only people I'm seeing complain about it are, you know, people on the websites that I read. Us, right? Like, well, no, I mean, my Wii is a virtual console machine. Like, you know, I'll play Super Metroid, or, you know, if a game is out that I want to play for, you know, Watch Out for Fireballs or something like that, you know, I will get it on the Wii because that's the way that you pay to play these old games now.
Yeah.
Right?
And honestly, that's where probably 90% of the games worth playing on the Wii are.
Right. Oh, or like in the, you know, that's like in the WiiWare section and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it started out like, you know, not so hot shakes, but you know, the internet, like, not so much as the Xbox, but or the PS3 rather, but the internet's connectivity is a pretty big deal for the Wii, and not for the reason that you would think. You know, you're playing with other people. Yes, you can do that, but just the sheer abundance of content that you can get. It's just kind of embarrassing that their latest offering doesn't let you access that.
Yeah. But people will buy it. It's Nintendo. They've earned it. It's like your old grandpa who makes racist comments. Yeah. Like, you know someone should call him out. You know he shouldn't get the free passes that he does. But, you know, he fought in three wars, and damn it, he'll say what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the plus side, though, we can now all say that we were into the Wii before it got all mainstream.
Anywho, what's the next story?
I have another brief one.
Cool, go ahead.
It's super brief. It's just something I thought was cute, I didn't hear about it until this week. Hitman Absolution, the game that just came out. It came out on the 47th week of the year.
Huh.
Aww.
And for anyone who's played any of the games, the main character is Agent 47. So that's just a little wink, a little cute thing.
Oh, how's it doing? Have we heard anything about it making any splash?
Let me see what its rank is on game rankings.
The only thing I heard was they pulled some shenanigans with, I guess, reviewers or critics or something.
What do you mean?
I didn't see what, you know, some sort of, you know, trying to influence reviewers somehow, and it was an internet issue.
Sending them the brass knuckles or... didn't Saints Row the Third send everyone dildos, I think?
Yes, dildren.
Yeah.
Dildren is the plural of dildo. However...
Yes, dildren, of course.
Yeah.
Dildos.
No.
Now your level of pedant has gone through the roof.
that's a Those Damn Ross Kids joke. The brass knuckles was Godfather 2, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they sent people illegal weapons?
Yes, they sent people illegal weapons.
Whoops.
You know. Let's see here. Hitman Absolution, it has an 80.63% on game rankings. I refuse to use Metacritic. That's good. Like okay. I can 80% is my interest level.
Cask so. Randomly what your complaint is with Metacritic?
Just that it's the industry standard and like people's pay is like based on that, and it like reduces, like it puts too much emphasis on the score, and I've never been too huge of a fan of the score, at least as like the bulk of their thing.
Okay, that's really been bothering me as well. So okay, sweet, I'm not the only one.
Yeah. So I'd like to play Hitman Absolution, but that's based on people saying like, oh man, it plays a lot like Blood Money, but I've like only ever played the first level of Blood Money. Awesome. So I don't want to buy it.
Blood Money's awesome. But, so like, if it plays like that, then awesome.
Yeah. I've heard really good things, but I don't know if I'm a fan of the series. So
see, it's basically what Assassin's Creed would be about if Assassin's Creed was about assassination.
Right.
have you ever, there's a couple articles that were written about this, but like Easter eggs in video games. There was one in Hitman Blood Money where one of the levels is a hotel and you have to go and kill maybe one or two people. but this one part of the level, it's completely optional to go to. They don't ever force you to go there at all. There's like a police scene, and a room is like blocked off, and there's a couple of like police officers walking around. And anyway, if you sneak in this place, you find out that I think there was a murder suicide that happened in the room, and there's a ghost in the level. If you go in the bathroom, it's something like if you look in the mirror, like this ghost appears of like this person that killed. It's just this like small little Easter egg. It has nothing to do with the overall story or anything, but it's just like, I don't know. They have really nice levels. Is what I'm trying to get at.
It's got to be like the Minecraft Easter egg in Borderlands.
Where is it? The first Borderlands or the second one?
Second Borderlands 2. I forget where it is. If I had to guess. Probably in the Caustic Caverns, but I'm not sure. There's guides for how to get there.
There's a Dark Souls Easter egg in the Caustic Caverns, which I did not get. I had to look up to see it was Dark Souls.
Well, you said the magic word.
Well, now we know what the rest of the podcast is about.
what was the Easter egg? I mean, I haven't played Dark Souls, so I wouldn't have gotten it. But
yeah,
so there's it? There's a part in Borderlands, the Caustic Caverns is this area where it's kind of surrounded by this bright green goo that's acidic. And there's one part of the level where you're standing by kind of like the edge of the green ocean or whatever. And you look out in the distance and there's this like tiny island off in the distance, but it's pretty far away. And so if you sprint towards it and continually jump out of the water as fast as you can to get as little damage as you can, if your character is a high enough level, he can get there. And when you get there, you get an achievement saying, I think I can get there, or something along those lines. and then also there's a character sitting there next to a campfire. And apparently the character is one of the guys from the game. He might have a guitar, maybe. I don't know. But yeah.
Nice.
Neat. Yeah. So Hitman for me is like one of those games that I'll pick up when it hits like $30, I think. Something like
gotcha.
That. Yeah. Because like, I'm thinking about, like, I thought about getting Blood Money, but it's like, I'd rather play the latest and greatest, so.
I would honestly recommend playing Blood Money, because, I mean, I think it would hold up.
Oh, cool.
It's solid.
It also, Blood Money, all the ones before Blood Money, well, Blood Money, they made a lot of changes to the actual controls that make the game much more playable.
Yes.
So, for example, in all the previous games, your stealth speed was the exact same speed as NPC's walking speed, so you couldn't catch up with anyone that was moving.
Oh, man.
It was tough.
Yeah.
But has there been a Hitman collection announced yet?
Oh, yeah. It was on Steam last week for like $5.
Okay. I didn't know that. Which ones did that include?
I think all of them up through Bloodmine.
Oh, wow.
Was it ever a disc-based thing that I could get for like a...
Yeah, Steam collections are different than other things. No. Just like I bought the Thief collection on Steam. Really, it's just like, hey, we'll give you a discount if you buy all these games at once. You know.
Yep.
Which isn't bad. I got fucked over by that actually. I was listening to Video Games Hot Dog, and one of their assignments was about Loom, the old LucasArts adventure game. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, cool. I wonder if that's on Steam. He says, oh, it's Mac compatible. Awesome. So I bought it. It was on sale for like $2.50 or for like $5, something like that. I forget how the math worked out. I was like, oh, I wonder what else there is here. So I looked it up. I was like, okay, so they've got the Dig. I haven't bought the Dig yet. So I bought it.
Oh, you bought them all individually.
I bought two of them individually for the same price that I could have gotten those two games and also both of the Indiana Jones adventure games. So I bought those two for $5, but I could have gotten all four for $5.
Womp, womp.
Womp, 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 womp. Fortunately, only one of those Indiana Jones adventure games is actually like really good. So, oh, well, what the hell?
It's $10,
is that the
man.
One where you put tape on the whip?
Maybe. It has been so fucking long since I played Fate of Atlantis. But anywho, what's the next story?
I've got one. It's rather weird, but post a link to it. But apparently NASA has found Pac-Man on the moon of Saturn.
Yeah. Wiggity wiggity what?
So I think the only conclusion one can draw from this is that God likes video games.
Naturally.
But, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so sorry. Okay, is this a thing that we can link to?
Yeah, I did. I just posted it to the robot.
Oh, I didn't see it. My setup fucks me.
It's Pac-Man in the moon.
let me see here. So it's our moon?
No, Saturn. It's Saturn's moon.
Okay, Saturn's moon. Okay.
Our moon is actually Donkey Kong.
Good show. No, that's a oh wow, yeah, that's actually my favorite moon of Saturn because it looks like the Death Star.
It does look like the Death Star.
Look at it. It's the Death Star and Pac-Man.
Best moon.
Wait a minute. Suddenly it all makes sense.
Everything clicks. Yeah.
So we now know the answer to what did the people of Alderaan hear right before the planet exploded. Oh my god.
I have to say the other thing I found funny about this article was that the degree to which this just kind of suggests that video games have kind of gone mainstream.
Yeah.
Pac-Man has had like 40 years to go mainstream though.
But still the fact that that's the first thing people thought of when they saw it. And, reading the articles, I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
That's cool. Cool.
Guys, do you realize now that there are kids out there who only know Pac-Man from Wreck-It Ralph?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's. I hesitate to believe that. I really do. Like, that's little some, kid.
There has to be one kid that exists.
Okay.
That's
okay.
True.
But kids is plural, and that implies a movement. Right. No.
There has to be at least two kids that have never
there are regularly studies that come out that say that Mario is the most is like one of the most recognizable characters. Like for a while, he was more recognizable than Mickey Mouse. according to young kids, and you know, like I I was at work, and one of my coworkers like said, "Hey, you'll appreciate this." And he pulled out a cell phone and he showed me a picture of a pumpkin that was carved with a silhouette of Sonic the Hedgehog. And I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." I was like, "Yeah, I know you like video games, so you'd appreciate that." I was like, "So why'd you do that?" And he said, "Oh, my son really wanted Sonic."
Nice.
The Sonic one. I was like, "How old's your son?" He's like 7. I was like, "Holy fuck, that was the age I was when I was into Sonic." You know.
So he's lived since before there was a decent Sonic game. That's what.
Yeah. you know, but it's like one of my favorite podcasters, Merlin Mann, says, you know, every day there's somebody who's born that has never seen the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Travis.
What? Yeah. So that's I've got somebody at work who it boggles my mind. She's my same age, and like she, like you can just ask her, like, "Hey, have you ever seen what am I thinking of here? Three's Company? No. I Love Lucy? No. Gilligan's Island? What's that?" It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Actually. Other than Gilligan's Island, that's true for me. And I think the thing on that one is what you're really asking them is, did you have Nickelodeon? And I didn't. No, truly. So in my case, like, I didn't see any of those simply because I didn't have Nickelodeon.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was raised on Nick at Night. Like, I fell asleep to Nick at Night, so, like, Bewitched was my lullaby. Writing that down as a title.
It makes sense why you act so old now, Cole.
Oh, Uncle Arthur. Anyway, Dennis, you have a story that thoroughly depressed me when you texted it to me earlier, so why don't you go right in?
Yeah, so I'll round out the brief by depressing everyone. It's not that bad. But so I think it's based on a really great thing, which is that I feel like the gaming industry as a whole is becoming more aware of and more sensitive to kind of sexism issues in both games and in gaming culture, as it were. So kind of the intolerance of women, you know, in online circles or in online games, et cetera, and kind of this view of gaming as some sort of boys club. So that's an amazing thing. And basically this hashtag has started going around Twitter of one reason why, with the one being the number one. And just talking about, you know, girls using that to talk about their experiences for one reason why they feel uncomfortable in the gaming community, which, you know, I think it's a great thing and absolutely, you know, it is an industry that has suffered from that, and you know, I think it is starting to get better, and that's very encouraging. But I was kind of amused as I was reading the tweets that they were holding up as examples in the article. We'll just play a little game of spot the kind of contradictory statement. So the first one is that it's sexist that there's not enough investment in AAA games about something other than war, cowboys, football, or cars. One woman tweeted. Which kind of implies that girls can't be interested in war, cowboys, football, or cars.
To be fair, she doesn't say, like, she says that's why it turns her off.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about this, you know. Like when somebody says later, like, "I get hella groped at every industry event," I don't think she's saying that every woman ever is forced to go to an industry event to be groped by overweight nerds, you know.
Yeah.
That means we've grown as a people because that no longer happens. So, yeah. I mean, if that was the thing, like, you know, I wish there were more games about princesses and, you know, hairdos and things like that. You know, that'd be one thing. But
even that is kind of veiled sexism. Because it's like you're saying that's the sort of games that girls would like, that somehow they need to have this subset of stereotypically girly things, which is what a lot of the tweets are seeming to be about. Mm-hmm. It's like, why don't you give us more ponies and horses and rainbows and dumbed down games that aren't as, you know, hard or violent? It's like, well, okay, yeah, there is some just overall cultural predisposition one way or another, but really it's missing the point of it. The things about, like, you know, getting groped at gaming conventions and understanding that to be an individual experience versus the norm. Still, that's, you know, that's an issue that, that we can take seriously. The other one was, you know, this is almost kind of in the reverse direction. Someone, another woman tweeted that, you know, sexism can be subtle, a disdain for inclusive management, conflict resolution, creative non sequiturs, or holistic development. And I look at those four things. Yeah, I look at those four things and go, so you're saying guys can't participate in inclusive management or conflict resolution or creative non sequiturs or holistic development. That's okay for sure. I've never done any of those things. So
I feel like that sounds like someone, particularly creative non sequitur, someone who's never played an indie game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I'm very happy to see that we are trying to become more sensitive to the whole issue. It's just interesting to me that I feel like a good number of people are either missing the point or they're focusing on smaller instances that are easy to grasp versus the true kind of bigger picture.
Yeah, and that bigger picture, at least the way that I see it, is that because games are such a homogenous industry, the people behind them and the creative industry, or the creative minds behind it, rather, because it's so homogenous of white males, there's only a certain experience or lens that we're seeing things through, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many more interesting, you know, experiences could we be led into if there were more black developers or female developers or homosexual developers, you know, and that voice kind of, you know, came through, not like in a sense of like, oh boy, these, you know, like putting them in a zoo or something like that. Like, oh, let's see what the gay person has to say. I'm not saying that, but because of this, you know, hegemony, which, you know, it's kind of like going towards the false notion that the only people who play video games are males aged 18 to 34. That's by no means the case. And it leads to these instances where, when something is treated sensitively or even broached at all, it's treated as a novelty, or like, wow, good for them for having a gay character or something like that. Or like, wow, good for them to, you know, just like one of those things. It's this diminished expectation because of like what's there.
The other thing, though, especially with, you know, the first one, the war and cowboys and stuff like that, I feel like to a certain degree, you know, it's people seem to often times like these, in scenarios like that, say we need less of the dominant viewpoint as opposed to saying we need more of the minority viewpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, and yeah. I don't think that's right, or, you know, I don't think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we need less, games about war, violence, cowboys, and football. I think we need more games about other things.
I think we need less games about football.
but okay, so I mean, like, this gets to something, and this might as well be the forum that I talk about it in. Have you guys ever seen the show The League?
Yes.
Yes.
Sounds familiar. What is it?
It's a pretty funny show on FX. It's on Netflix. It's like a bunch of comedians, and it's like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, except they are all in a fantasy football kind of league.
Oh, okay.
Instead of
yeah,
all
I've
working
heard about
at a
that,
book.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really funny show. I like it a lot, and that is despite how football heavy the content is. So. Mm-hmm. I use that as a very weak example to say that, like, the subject matter of something doesn't really create, you know, your enjoyment of it, right? Like, you can be turned off by something, but if it's a good, enjoyable thing, I wouldn't call it a great television show. I would call it something that's really, really good to watch if you have Netflix and you like stuff that's funny.
Sure.
you know, but like thinking, you know, there's stuff that I just like that wouldn't be for me, but I still enjoy. Like, I love my copy of ESPN NFL 2K5 because that is a really, really good game, even if it is a football game, you know?
Yeah. I still remember the rap from the beginning of Madden 2001 that my brothers and I played religiously.
Yeah. So,
I remember my play in Madden 64 being big B-A-B and throwing it to the B character.
So to round this out, I guess two thoughts, which is, I mean, obviously you talked about the lens that people view something through. So we of course are four white males talking about this issue. So yeah. I guess, you know, it'd be interesting to hear
privilege
any of
is
our
in full effect.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear any of our female listeners or other kind of minority listeners chime in with kind of your thoughts on it.
Write us in. It's level at duckfeed.tv or use duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yep. And then the other thing is just you mentioned, you know, the idea of having like gay characters in games. Ben, because I think you might be the only one who's played far enough, did you get the completely just random reference that Hammerlock is gay in Borderlands 2?
I just assumed he was, but
really,
because doesn't he talk like passively about his boyfriend?
Yeah, like one of the missions, he just is like, oh yeah, one of my old boyfriends has XYZ. You gotta go take care of it or whatever.
And I felt like there was a couple characters that they had that with.
Oh yeah, that's the only one I. But yeah. I hold that up as an example of where kind of a minority viewpoint or maybe just a more realistic representation of the characters that make up a world was worked in a very just nonchalant, natural way that fit really well. Like it kind of like, you know, I heard that and I was like, yeah, that kind of, you know, I probably could have guessed that if I had if I had thought about his character a little more.
Yeah,
he's a gentleman.
Or it's like Fall in New Vegas, which has not only one but two prominent characters who are gay. But it's so not an issue.
Yeah.
Well, like, I remember, David, you mentioned that, right?
I felt like Fallout did a really good job of having homosexual characters that were legitimately homosexual, but, you know, not just some parody or something, but also the game wasn't preachy.
So it wasn't like the Ballad of Gay Tony.
Right.
See, I've never played it.
Yeah, it's good. If you have Grand Theft Auto 4, it's a really fun expansion.
It's a fun game, but in the context of this conversation, they're kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah. But like with arcade and good.
Also, it helped that the who was the paladin chick in New Vegas?
Veronica.
She was quite possibly the most awesome character in the game.
She was great, and it's just kind of like one of those things, like that it's so not a big deal. Like the BioWare thing, like especially in Dragon Age 1, not so much in the more recent ones where it's just like a thing. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm gay, hurrah! And it's like, oh well, this is going down.
Zathrin or whatever the guy's name was.
Yeah, where it was treated as like camp. And camp is okay, but it's like if you're trying to like get this taken seriously. Whereas like the tactful way to do is like, I'm just a dude and this is a thing about me.
Right.
Yeah.
But so. I feel like what makes it difficult though, you know, I was reading once, it was probably for like, actually I think it was for one of my English class, but I think it's talk about the idea that you know, women in English, you know, generally most of the names for men or, you know, words that refer to men are generic, whereas the words that refer to women are not. So, like, for example, all men are Mr., but women, you know, Miss or Mrs., you know, indicates their marital status. And, you know, talking about the idea of inherently, no matter how you refer to a woman, you're making a statement. And I feel like that's, I would think, one of the reasons maybe that we don't see more of this is I feel like, you know, if you put in, say, a homosexual character, almost no matter how you depict them, you're inherently making a statement.
Right.
And so I feel like it's hard to put in a character that's just the way the character is,
right? Because like as soon as that comes out, it's like that's what that character is all about.
I found
right,
your
exactly.
thing.
Yeah, like that's your character. That is your character flaw, or not flaw, or, you know, so something like that. Like there we go. That is what your entire arc is about. Whereas you know, falling again, nonchalant. It's just a thing that they are. and it comes up if you happen to go down this one little garden path of conversation, you know. So
yeah.
Right.
So again, hashtag one reason why. Where one is the number one, and you can read some texts that are a lot of them that are good, a lot of them that miss the point, and all of them interesting.
Heavy social issues.
Yay!
The grind.
So it's time for the grind, but I'm going to take this moment to do a little commercial break. If you are going to be doing any holiday shopping for Christmas or whatever you happen to do, and you're going to be doing any of it on Amazon, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and use our Amazon link there. We get a little kickback from that that helps us support the network and keep doing the shows and things like that. And it doesn't cost you anything extra. You still go to Amazon like normal. So that is important for us. If you want to buy a game and talk about it here, that's a thing you can do. And speaking of talking about games, that's what we're going to do on the grind. Segway. So does anybody want to volunteer to go first?
I can go first. Ooh, showdown time.
Ooh, boy.
I don't care.
To break this tie, I'll go first.
Whoa!
Makes complete sense.
The third thing.
The third way. Okay, so I've got two ones that I'm going to talk about here. The first is Walking Dead Episode 5, about which I can say nearly nothing.
Is that because it's all spoilers?
It is literally all spoilers.
Okay.
I know I talked about it during the end boss last week, saying that this will be my game of the year most assuredly for 2012. That sentiment hasn't changed. So I guess I want to take this moment on my soapbox to say, like, everything will play this. Your phone will, your tablet will, your toaster maybe not. Check the documentation. However, like, everything runs this game. So why not? Why wouldn't you dedicate 10 hours to playing the best game this year, as chosen by Cole?
So when you say it's game of the year, obviously a preliminary statement. Because are we going to do any sort of like game of the year episode? I don't know. Anyway.
I was gonna announce that a little bit later. But
oh well, there you go. Anyway, I was just saying, are you
surprise?
Sorry. Are you referring to the series as a whole, 1 through 5, or are you referring to 5 specifically?
They really are taken as a whole. Like, it is one game, you know, that just happened to have been delivered, you know, in 5 installments over the course of half of a year.
Is it possible to buy, like, one out of sequence?
You wouldn't want to do that.
Right, yeah, I gather that much. I wonder if you can, though. There's some poor soul who like, jumped in at episode 5 and is completely confused.
No, on Steam, I haven't.
Why are you eating me?
I have not tried to buy it on Xbox or PSN. I have bought the first episode on iPad or iOS rather, to see like how it works. On Steam, you just buy the season pass for $25 or less if you happen to buy it on a sale. That's the trick. I think this past weekend it was on sale for like $12.50 or something like that. It was half off, something ridiculous like that. And then you just get all the episodes, it downloads them. And then on iOS, it's like you buy the first episode for $5 and then you can do an in-app purchase for the remaining episodes. It's kind of like Mass Effect in that even more so than Mass Effect actually, but you know, the entire thing is all about like, what were my choices and how did that affect, you know, what happens later.
So are you going to replay this?
I'm going to wait a bit. It's one of those things that's kind of like Heavy Rain in that, replaying it would probably take away some of the magic because you would see the seams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of like times where it makes you think that there's a choice, but there's actually not. Like, no matter what you say, it'll shake out like the same way.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. Like, you know, false gameplay or, you know, giving you a glimmer of hope or things like that. If I did play it again, I would play it on iPad. Just because, you know, I want to give them more money because it's really, really fucking good. But you know, and also the controls actually work pretty well on iPad. Better than on PC, actually. I kind of wish that I had gotten it on Xbox, but so it goes. Yeah. So I don't know if you can buy a single episode, but my answer to that is, why would you want to?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I will say is, like, you know, chickens come home to roost. That is the only spoilerish kind of thing that I would say. You know, throughout the entire series, and this is apparent even from the first episode, the theme is, you know, just like all of The Walking Dead and most post-apocalyptic, you know, kind of literature in general, you know, there may be monsters about, but the real monsters are humanity. But the key moral is, no matter what you do, you know, and no matter how you try and justify it to yourself, you're going to do shitty things that affect people. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, it is feel bad, the game is what it is. Which is why, like, when I beat it, I tutored about this and I said, like, get this, you know, it's on sale, you know, this weekend, you know, it's the best time ever, but, like, play it over a month. Don't do it all in one go because it will drain you. You will have a shock of white hair at the end of it, like Rogue. Okay.
Or Dennis.
Hey.
No, sorry. Sorry.
It's true. It's true.
but
we've talked about this in conversations past, but there's something about the gaming medium that really lends itself to those kinds of experiences where so many games you're playing, you know, in bad situations or draining situations, but that it makes for a really good experience in a game.
Yeah. I mean, games, like, it's possible to become fatigued, right? Like, right. Television shows, they're shot and designed in such a way that, you know, like, about an hour is the most that a person can stand to sit still, unless they're me, in which case they have to be standing and moving at all times. You know, a movie, you know, like, unless it's, you know, Gettysburg or Inland Empire, where it's, you know, 3.5-4 hours long, or Gone with the Wind, right? That isn't going to, like, trip your fatigue. But, you know, with a game, you really have to, you know, if it's good, you have to force yourself to pull to pull away from it. So I think that this is one of those instances where they really, really benefited from taking the TV model and saying, this is episode one, this is episode two, this is episode three. So, like, mm-hmm. when they tell you to stop, it's really good to stop.
Gotcha. Like, can you?
Alan Wake.
Yeah.
Which I'm in the process of buying, but.
In there right now?
Yeah, it's Steam has it for 75% off.
Oh yeah, that's true. The whole series. Yeah, Dennis.
Nice. I was gonna ask, can you finish most of the episodes in one sitting?
Yeah, the episodes. You know, my Steam clock was at about like 13 hours, but some of that was like when it was on pause. You know, because I do that. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, say about 10 hours. To, you know, to get through all of it. So that's about 2 hours per, you know, per episode, which is a long session, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, amortized over the course of a month or a week, that's not a lot, right? Like most of them, like episode 5, I beat in one sitting. Most of them I beat in like one or two.
Okay, what is cool. the actual gameplay?
Man, it's tough to say. It's like an adventure game. So
It seems kind of similar to Heavy Rain, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you're walking around and there are short bits of puzzles and things like that. But, you know, most of it takes place in conversations that oftentimes happen during cutscenes, right?
So is there any Twitch?
There are, like, button mashing segments and some of the conversation prompts, like, you know, you have a time limit. So unless you choose an option, it will choose a default for you. And that default is often silence. So every conversation prompt, like ... is an answer. So if you want the main character, Lee, who is a great main character, by the way, if you want him to answer everything with a fart, that's what you do.
So he could play this game entirely Hitman style without like saying a word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Probably does not Master have the Chief best style. Result.
Well, but like the entire game is about engendering people's trust. You know, you have this group, this party that's with you, and there are situations where not only will they not help you if they don't like you, but they will actually like make things hard by like leaving you for dead.
Oh, good.
You know, so being a non-talky guy, not exactly beneficial. So
I don't know. I like what Benjamin Franklin said, that it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and confirm the suspicion.
Yeah.
Wasn't that Lincoln?
Also the Bible.
I heard Ben Franklin, but apparently it's Abraham Franklin Bible.
That's the name of my ska band.
It's my favorite guy to buy Voices album. What was that? Abraham Franklin Bible?
Yes.
I'm writing down titles.
Franklin Bible is one word.
Okay. Thank you. So, anywho. Yeah, play it. It's really good. It's a shame that I can't do like a spoiler cast kind of thing about it because you guys haven't played it yet. Not that I'm angry. No, it's really good. Like preternaturally good. Any final questions about that before I go on to my next one?
Is the next one Assassin's Creed 3?
No, I did buy that. It was the most pleasant Black Friday shopping ever. I took a break when I got off work on Friday. I went to Best Buy where it was on sale for 35 smackaroos. Walked right up to the Xbox section, grabbed one of the many copies they had, stood in line for I counted it 3.5 minutes, checked out, and then left the store.
Didn't even look at the explosion as you were walking away.
to be fair, that would have incriminated me. So that's going to come later. It's been kind of a crazy week, what with fam stuff. But my next thing is going to be, with the fam stuff, I was away from my house for that. I wasn't around my Xbox, so I had to play stuff on my PC, which was how I played Walking Dead, but also Mistcraft.
Huh?
Brr? Yeah, you're right to brr, because I brrred too.
So if this is what it sounds like, and there is a mod for Minecraft that is the Myst Adventure game, I will...
Okay, so that is what it is. Yeah.
Nice.
It's really fucking good. So again, I found out about this on Video Games Hot Dog. They talked about it. And I literally stopped what I was doing and went right and downloaded it. Like it is like there's you couldn't have like shot it better in a comedy film. Like, wait a minute, what? And then like a Gilligan cut right to me playing it. Yes, it is a mod for Minecraft, which is one of my favorite games. It's really good. It's a thing that takes the linking book mechanics of Myst and puts them into Minecraft. So like the idea in Myst, the adventure game, if you haven't played it, and if you haven't, shame on you, is that, you know, there are people who can write books that will transport you to other worlds. And these worlds can be whatever is in the imagination of this person. So in the game, you know, you craft a writing desk and you craft specific kinds of books with leather and paper. And it's pretty cool because, like, you know, you make a descriptive book rather, and you go to a completely randomly generated world. So Minecraft worlds are generated with a pretty like set rule set. Like there's no such thing as like an illogical, you know, combination. It's kind of like, okay, you spawn in an area and there are biomes which are either like gentle hills or extreme hills or desert or winter or jungle or swamp, things like that. And they, you know, fade into each other, and the, you know, water will be next to sand, will be next to grass, will be next to rock. You know, just like that, like that's the heuristic that it adheres to. There'll be caves and things like that. And what this does, it when you randomly generate a world, it can be any number of like fantastical, crazy things. So the first world that I linked to was a platform in the middle of a void, but it was snowing all the time and it was perpetual night. But also there was an effect in the air that made me nauseous and slow. Because okay. There are status effects now. So like you link to a book and you like, just like in the games, you fall through a star field and then you land and it's like, oh crap, am I going to die? Am I not? Okay. Well, why is everything all wavy? It's kind of crazy. Oh, if I fall from here, I will die and be lost forever. Okay. So I linked back, and just like in Myst, if when you link, you drop the book. So when you go into a world, you have to pray that you have a linking book. Because that is a problem if you don't, because now you're trapped and this is your new home.
Does every world have a way to get a linking book?
Some of them do, some of them don't. And the problem is that linking books only link to where they were crafted.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. So one of the first things that I imported a world that I made earlier, where I turned an island into a manor kind of thing. I had a little tower that served as like my alchemy enchanting kind of area. I added a floor to it that was my writing room, and I just made myself a whole shitload of linking books that linked to the center of my linking room, like the library in Myst. yeah. Second world that I linked to was like a cavern world, but it was perpetually day, so it wasn't dark inside. There were monsters and things like that, and it was kind of neat because gravel spawned on the ceiling, but gravel falls in gravity. So like as you come in, you see like these gravel blocks just kind of like falling from the ceiling. And I waited for a little bit for most of it to fall so I wouldn't get suffocated. I walked around and it was like the Nether. So there was like glowstone. I was like, awesome, glowstone. So I got a bunch of glow powder, but then like it's full of creepers. So it's like a cavern full of daylight and glowstone, but also creepers, which will explode when they're near you. So it's like, I don't want to die here. So I linked back as quick as I could. And I renamed that world so I'd know to go back. It's like, okay, this is where I can farm glowstone now. Awesome. I just have to make sure that I build a base there so that I don't get, trapped.
Creeped out?
Exactly. But what's awesome is you can take a notebook to these worlds and then, like, you know, you warp there and you come back and all of the variables that kind of, like, make these worlds, they're represented by symbols in this notebook.
Huh.
So you can take that and go to a writing desk and sit down and say, like, okay, I went to a cavern world that was perpetual day, no status effects, and there was glowstone. And there are different categories that say, like, biome, caverns, extreme hills, time, always day, weather, sunny, you know, stuff like that. And you can take that and you can combine those things to actually make your own world, right?
Nice.
So there are certain components that you have to have, and if you don't have those components, it'll randomize them. If you put in illogical things, it will actually make a world that will be a death trap. So like if you do always day and always night, like the world will have like decay around it. So like the things will start falling away around you, or the air will be poisonous, or there will be lightning strikes or meteors.
Oh, good.
Just like in Myst, actually.
Wait. So in Myst, like, God help you if you're, you know, M. Night Shyamalan.
Kind
just,
of.
You know, thousands of dead so, plot holes.
Yeah.
So just for a point of clarification, which Myst is this? Or, like, because I played the first Myst, but I did not play any of the following Mists.
It's not like, you know, you go here and you're on the island of Myst and you flip switches and then you go to the Channelwood Age and things like that.
They're still working on that one.
Yes, they are. No, I've actually seen I've seen those. I've seen people make like recreations of the Myst Island or this particular thing. It's Minecraft. I mean, it's basically the Rule 34 of video games, right? if you can think of it, somebody's made a Minecraft of it. But it's more like the Myst Mythos or the Mysthos, as I call it. I'm back. But it's just kind of like, here's this mechanics and here's the main conceit of this universe and what happens if that's brought into Minecraft. So the way that I'm like using this is like, I've got this one island that I've decked out to be my whole like manor kind of thing. And I built a farm to get reeds to make paper. And I have, you know, I'm breeding cows and things like that to get leather. And it's like, how awesome can I make this island just by going to these worlds and farming them for resources?
That sounds pretty cool.
And because linking books take you to wherever you made them, I can travel all the way across the world or like incredibly far away, make a linking book, travel back, or, you know, like go into a descriptive book and then link back to my other place. So it can be used as fast travel. And you can make pedestals for books so they don't fall on the ground and get lost. They take damage from weather, so you have to build shelters for them. It's really, really fucking good. Like, for real.
Get on it. I have not gone back to Minecraft probably since I first bought it for like $5 in like really, really early beta.
Yeah.
And it's almost to the point where like I've heard so many good things about it, but I almost feel like the real joy of Minecraft was watching the game evolve. And right. then if I stepped in now, I'd almost feel lost or just like, you know.
There's weird stuff. There's stuff that amounts to like raid content in it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are boss encounters and alternate dimensions, like aside from the mist stuff, like where you go to like, you know, get items. There's enchanting, there's alchemy, like I alluded to before. There's animal breeding, like animal husbandry.
Yeah.
all kinds of like different dyes and things like that. Like one of the rooms in my house has like checkered white and blue carpet. You know? they've added a bunch of redstone stuff. Like it's really, really complicated now. Like whereas it was pretty simple before. Almost to its detriment. Like I have the game open on my main monitor and the wiki open on another monitor. that's the level that you have to work at. Yeah. But yeah, I was really, really happy that I found out about it because, you know, Myst, obviously one of my favorite things in the entire world, read all the books, played all the games, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Who wants to go next?
I can go.
Okay.
So I got pretty hardcore into the whole Steam sale, so, actually the first thing I got actually was on sale and didn't get on sale, but I picked up, Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Okay.
I COD really loved,
yes.
Okay, Call of Duty COD Blopsy. Is that what we're going with? COD Blopsy?
The preferred nomenclature is COD Blopsy. It's like a bee comes out of your mouth at the end.
Okay, COD Blops.
Yes.
spoken like an
English. I was really a fan of the previous COD Blops. And I've started playing through the single player campaign, and so far it's pretty good. It's got this weird thing where it's a sequel to the previous game. You play as the son of the main character from the previous COD Blobs.
Okay.
Weird.
But it does a number of flashbacks to him. So like it seems like so far it's been just about every other mission. One is set in like the future, and then the other is in like the 80s.
Okay.
And so it's one, it's sort of cool because, you know, your weapons change up. So the futures is all like drones, and you have like guns that can see through walls and stuff like that. Whereas, when you're playing as the guy's father, it's all, you know, M16s and assault rifles. And then the other thing they changed up is you can now choose your loadout before you enter a single player mission.
Oh wow! So
So yeah, so you can basically pick a primary weapon, a secondary weapon, and up to three attachments for both. Two grenades and then three perks. But then the perks are some of them are like perks from the single player game, but then like for example, one of them is basically like lockpicks and hacking tools, which allows you to like find special power ups throughout the level hidden away and stuff.
Okay.
So so far it's really good. It's pretty fun, although I am interested to see if it goes all No Russian style on me, because in the opening scene, it proceeds to fairly graphically show a, say, like 7-year-old girl get burnt to death, and wow. Then asks you if you want to enable mature content.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, so apparently at some point there's something in the game that is worse than, you know, a small girl being, you know, burned alive.
No one is asking for this, guys. Why keep on putting it in the game?
Nobody wants it.
No.
I mean, I have mixed feelings on it. I mean, theoretically, they're setting it up to, you know, war is hell. You know, the game's kind of supposed to pull in some of the shades of gray that was, you know, America's proxy wars during the Cold War.
You can't with one hand say that war is hell, and then with the other hand say fuck yeah, headshots. Like you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do that, own it. Like, make it a thing. Like, make it just kind of like, this fucking sucks. This is a little girl who won't have a future, you know? But, like, you can't. Just, oh, man, sickening.
Yeah, so that's – I'm going to be interested to see how they go with that. But at the very least, it's the main bad guy a reasonable reason for hating you. So – but then I've also been playing the multiplayer some.
Okay.
And so far it seems pretty good. They added a training mode against the computer, which is kind of weird because the computer is much better than most players, it seems.
Now, are there different difficulties on it, like in Perfect Dark?
No, it's just straight up, just one difficulty, but, so far I've played about 5 games and the humans have won 1.
Huh. So wait, do you do a human team versus a computer team?
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, and I think it's just a combination of the computer actually being more single-minded about going along with going after its purpose, and the computer being a little bit more consistently, like, correct, you know, reflexes and stuff.
Huh.
But the only downside I'd see, well, the downside I'd see with it is I'm a little bit suspicious of the perks. It seems like, you know, each game they try to take out the perks that are just, you know, you have to have, you know, no-brainers. But the end result is that I open up the perk screen and there's now no perks that I'm excited about equipping.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. I haven't had a chance to play much, but those are just kind of the initial whatever.
Huh.
Have you put the zombies mode yet?
I very briefly played it single player. Actually, I couldn't connect to the internet, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't just my computer. So I played zombies real quick. Mm-hmm. It seems pretty cool.
Did you
melee
get out
attacks
of the depot?
Seemed to work pretty well. Say that again.
Did you get out of the depot? Did
no,
you make it to the bus?
I played for like 5 minutes.
Okay.
David, do you have a gaming PC, or are you playing this on your laptop?
On my laptop.
Huh. Okay. I was going to ask you some questions, but yeah. Long story short, I'm thinking of building a gaming PC, but that's neither here nor there. So, anywho.
I smell in-boss material.
Thank you. I was looking for an idea, so go on. Yeah.
So, I also I picked up Dishonored.
Hmm.
Did you get that through Steam or Amazon?
Amazon. Although I'm a little bit regretting it, I didn't realize it wasn't a third person game. And first person games I generally like on PC.
Right. Well, so you got it on your PlayStation 3?
Yes. So, have any of you guys played at all?
Yes, but not as much as I want to. I've played through like the first 2 missions, I think.
All right, I think I'm in the sewers. I just got to like the gear cache in the sewers, so I guess that's partway through the second mission, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey,
David, pump the brakes. What the fuck, dude? Nobody's bought Dishonored on the Duckfeed referral link on Amazon.
I did do the Amazon thing.
Can I give you an angry bell? Can I give you an angry bell?
Sure. Although I will say I did buy it through the Amazon link on Duckfeed. So are you getting other people?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that you've used the link? Because what I always do is, you know, go to duckfeed.tv, click the link, and then go, you know, buy whatever I want on Amazon. But then the other day we had something where Jen had added some items to her cart, and I was like, oh, wait, use the link. And so she just closed out the Amazon window, went through duckfeed.tv, and then bought the items that were already in her cart. But
oh, see, that's what I do.
Yeah, I'm not certain. I don't know.
It sounds like you might need to click the link, then add items.
Yeah, that's...
But even when I do that, I've never seen any sort of notification or comment.
No. Like it just goes here, and I check the reports every day. So I'm not sure you get anything.
Okay. Do you have an espresso maker on there by chance, or French press rather?
No.
Gah.
That's fine. No, don't worry. Go on. Talk about Dishonored. I didn't want to derail. But use that link for real.
But sure. Use that link before you add stuff to the cart.
Yes.
Is what it sounds
right.
like.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you should have a pasta scooper that's shaped like a Tyrannosaurus Rex's head, a bottle opener that I forget what the gimmick for that is. We bought my brother a bunch of funny house stuff for Christmas since he's moving into his first apartment. So
okay. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's a pizza roller that's shaped like a circular saw.
I think I did see that on here. I'm really interested in seeing what, like, obviously there's no name attached to what people get, but somebody bought viola strings yesterday, which really up. Those are expensive. Sorry, it's interesting sociological.
What a diverse audience we have.
I know, right?
Yeah, I feel like way to up our classiness rating. I mean, you know.
Yeah. A bunch of kids' toys. Yeah. Sorry, I'm creeping people out, so I'm going to close this window. what do you think of Dishonored, David?
I really like the setting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really into steampunk. I, you know, do the whole embarrassing dress-up thing at
it's called
comic
costume
book conventions.
Play or cosplay.
Right,
which
right.
is not dressing as Bill Cosby and the Puddin' Pops.
I just found my new favorite thing.
Cosplay.
Wow. But the thing I like about it is, to a certain degree, I would kind of say the setting isn't steampunk in that
it's whale punk.
That too. I really like. That's a different angle. I like the fact that they went, you know, hardcore industrial revolution on it. But the other thing is, you know, steampunk, there's kind of a, you know, most steampunk stuff tends to be very kind of, you know, romantic, you know, Enlightenment era, you know, the wonders of humanity and, you know, triumph of, you know, technology and, I feel like it's almost if someone took, you know, a steampunk world and was like, what would this type of world actually be like?
Uh-huh.
In terms of, you know, much more realistic, you know, a social structure that's much more realistic to the time period, you know, the pollution, things like that. I think there's a really nice touch that all the food in the game is like canned like eels and pickled like herring and stuff.
Yeah.
There have been and I feel like the story's pretty good so far. It's looking like it's going to end up being Steampunk the Crow. But
So Bruce Lee's son will die.
You beat me to it, Cole.
Sorry. Check the chamber, kids.
Wow. So, there are two things that do bother me, though. Well, The controls are deployable.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were pretty good.
I guess maybe part of it is so far I kind of have a chip on my shoulder. I don't like the fact that they make whether you kill people affect the storyline. Well, affect what ending you get.
But that I mean, like that's happened in stealth games since forever ago.
It strikes me it's just kind of preachy in terms of. I don't like the whole good equals pacifism thing.
Right. But I didn't get the sense that it was good or not from what I did. That could be entirely, you may have gotten farther than I did, or you're seeing stuff that I'm not seeing. So that's perfectly valid. But it struck me as like different philosophies on the way that you went, like just and the impact that it has on the world, in that like if you kill a bunch of dudes and leave bodies around, there may or may not be rats.
Well, I just more mean the fact that they pretty much straight up say if you want to get the good ending, avoid killing people.
The good as in like morally good, or the good as in qualitatively good?
The good as in qualitatively good.
See,
like,
I mean,
that's even one of the like loading screen tips.
I mean, I kind of like that because I mean that's like the highest difficulty, right? I mean, that's the same thing with Hitman, like trying to only kill your target and kill no one else. So I mean, I see that as a reward for mastering the game.
Yeah.
See, but I just one, it's not that. I mean, it's Hitman's a little different because it's about not killing it's about being professional. It's about not killing people that don't deserve it effectively, people that aren't your target. Whereas this is, don't kill, you don't even, you're encouraged not to even kill your targets, is my understanding.
So is it, I think the key question that this all hinges on is not killing people fun?
No. I would say completely no.
It's one of those things where like not killing people, like the guards, take it or leave it. I like trying to figure out how to get around them, especially with the tools that it gives you. But like the storyline targets that you get, the quote unquote non aggressive ways that you get to kill them, they're satisfying because it's like, oh, that's a really creative solution to this problem. But also B, like, sometimes, ruining somebody's lives is a lot more fun than killing them, which is what you do.
So when you say non-aggressive way to kill them, do you mean like that you find a way to like get them to kill themselves? Or is it like you said, you ruin their lives?
Take them out of the picture.
I think one example, there was like a slaver and you put him into slavery.
Yeah, yeah. Like you sell him into slavery.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's something that bothers me about video games in general is I feel like people not enough games depict the negatives results of pacifism. And I don't know, I just feel like I wish games would deal with the subject more, I don't know, maturely, but
What else?
The other thing though is I feel like I don't quite understand this whole plague thing, in that I feel like the people are like, how are we going to stop the rat plague? I would think a good place to start with stopping the rat plague might be rats. It just seems like, I realize, they didn't have germ theory, but I feel like they should have been able to put that one together.
Well, they probably thought that rats spontaneously generated from garbage, and how do you get rid of garbage?
Granted. Okay, I'll give you that, but it does
seem a little
weird. I mean,
Louis Pasteur was, like, way off in the mist at this point, so.
Still.
Yeah, so. Huh.
But,
I really
so
need to,
far.
Oh, man, I need to play that so bad.
Yeah, it's so far, like I said, the aesthetic and the setting really cool. That I just haven't found the game fun so far, so I hope I hope fairly soon they start giving me enemies that aren't innocent people so that I can start getting stabby.
Okay, Black Mage. All right.
But,
any other games?
And then Dennis's suggestion, I picked up Quantum Conundrum.
Yes.
What is this?
It's made by, I think, one of the people that made Portal, right?
Yeah, Kim Swift, who was the lead designer for Portal.
Ooh. And it's, a similar basic approach, puzzle game with a cool gadget, but in this case, you have a device that can switch between one of four different dimensions. So, like, one is the fluffy dimension, where everything's a tenth the weight it normally is, and everything looks like it's made out of toilet paper. And then there's, like, the heavy dimension, where everything appears to be made out of metal and is heavy. And then those are the only two I've actually seen. I think there's also, like, reverse gravity and, Dennis, you beat this, right?
Yeah, so there's upside-down dimension, and then there's time dimension, where everything moves really, really slow. So, there's so much that's just delightful and hilarious and awesome about this game, but the one thing I'll call out as we're talking about that is you go into the upside-down dimension. And you start kind of playing with some mechanics there, and the guy who's kind of the narrator of the game goes, "Think about this: are you in a dimension where gravity is reversed, or are you in a dimension where this house is upside down?"
Is this like a GLaDOS type person?
It's like
it's basically what I'm going to end up as once
yes.
I reach senility.
So this is pretty much David Moneysmith the game. Like the basic premise is that. You are a 12-year-old kid who annoys his mom, so she decides to dump you on your eccentric old uncle who lives in the Quadrangle Manor and is this mad scientist-type inventor. Right as you get there, there's some sort of big rumbly accident that happens. He gets sent to a pocket dimension, and you are left to figure out how to turn the power back on and try to rescue your uncle so that you don't starve to death alone in his mansion. But he can still like talk to you and kind of monitor your progress through the game and serves as kind of the narrator. But it's just Ben, I know you loved Portal, and Cole, I know you did too. This game is like Portal with two extra helpings of delightful. It's just so good.
It's a lot lighter in tone than Portal, at least so far, but it still has kind of the delightful disregard for your own safety. And
yeah.
One of my favorite features is when you die, you're presented as it reloads with a screen documenting, reason 270 or thing 273 you will not get to experience because you're dead. And so, like, one of them is like, going to graduate school to avoid real life. Complaining about politics that you only vaguely understand. Just stuff like that.
Huh. Yeah, it's great. And I was almost glad that I got to a part of the game where you die more, because the puzzles get really difficult, and so you will die a lot, because you get to read more of those funny little things. And I was seeing new ones all the way through to the end of the game. Like, they repeated, but I kept on getting ones that I hadn't seen before as well.
Huh.
So it's much better than Call of Duty, then.
I'm
where you learn that a javelin missile costs $2 million.
I'm so surprised I hadn't heard about this yet. This is out on everything.
It's like, so good.
I was looking it up on Steam, and I was like, oh, it's Windows only, blah, 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 blah. And then I saw, like, oh, it's on Xbox as well. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's everywhere that you could want.
Huh.
I'm trying to think. I just, this game made such an impression on me. I beat it over the course of Thanksgiving break, essentially, and I cannot think of enough good things to say about it. So I'm trying to censor myself so I don't go on and on too long.
When did this come out?
It's been out a while now, has it?
No, June 21st, 2012.
Okay.
So it hasn't been out super long. Came out July 11th for Xbox 360. But so good. I just realized I'm looking at the box art for it, and the kid that you play as, I'm assuming, is on the box art, but you never actually, you know, since it's first person perspective, you never actually see him during the game.
Is he on the box art?
I don't know if it's the box art or just an image that they have for the game on Wikipedia.
Okay, I'm pulling it up.
Some random kid upside down in the background. Which, how old, before you look at that, how old did you think the kid was?
I would have said like 12.
Oh, okay, that's actually where it is. When I first played, I would have guessed like 5 or something like that. Something, because one of the death messages is a thing you will never get to experience, having a vocabulary of more than 10 words.
Oh.
I was like, holy crap, this is a really small kid. but I think that might have just been like a kind of an inside joke at the fact that, you know, you're a silent protagonist.
Yeah,
like
actually.
Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
Actually, that's something. One of the other things that bothered me about Dishonored, and it's also true in this, does it seem to you like the whole silent protagonist thing is kind of becoming old-fashioned or becoming less and less appropriate?
I don't know. Like, is it done poorly in Half-Life?
I felt like in Half-Life 2, definitely.
Really?
I felt like as Half-Life 2 went along, it became more and more awkward, particularly when the mechanical engineer chick.
Alex?
Excuse me?
Alex?
Yeah. Once she was your full-time sidekick, I felt like the fact that you don't talk back to her when she says things became fairly obvious and kind of awkward.
He's just nervous.
Well, I thought it actually worked in this game. Again, my perception was that the kid was a lot younger than he actually is, I guess, the 12 years old versus 5 years old. But there was also just no reason for him to talk in the game. Like, yeah, they could have recorded voice work and maybe had some sort of back and forth, but that really wouldn't have been necessary. I don't think it would have added much to the game. And it's kind of the professor character that narrates you is strong enough that he can kind of stand on his own.
Oh, yeah, the game's about the professor. I mean, you know, really in the same way that Portal was about GLaDOS.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And no spoilers for the ending, but I think that led to the ending being a little bit weak. And that's, if I could complain about one thing in the game, it would be that the ending is a little bit weak. But even that is just, that's a nitpick. It's very, very small compared to how awesome this game is overall. Especially, I can't wait for you to get all 4 dimensions because the puzzles get really insane. You know, you are going into fluffy dimensions so you can pick up and throw a couch, slowing down time so you can hop on top of it, then using the gravity switch dimension to float through the air towards another platform, switching into heavy dimension so it can go over some lasers without getting destroyed, back into gravity switch dimension, slowing down time so you can hop to another object that's been thrown and make sure you land on that, and then going into fluffy dimension so it can be blown by a fan in a new direction, slowing down time again and jumping to safety on a platform.
Nice.
Like, it's that crazy. And it all works so well. There's also a ton of really nice small touches. Have you noticed the pictures in the game yet?
Yeah, Jordan? That's actually something that's good. You know, explain that. That's something I really like.
Oh, it's great. And I got probably 4 or 5 levels into the game without noticing it. The mansion is just hung with portraits all over the place. And depending on what dimension you're in, the portraits will be various themes on the same thing. So one of the portraits is a landscape. And if you're in fluffy dimension, then it's like a Candyland style thing where the trees are candy canes and, you know, the mountains are covered with frosting with cherries on top. I forget what the heavy dimension is for that. But like the time dimension, it's like prehistoric and there are dinosaurs in it. And then the gravity dimension, there's the snow is like rising off the mountain and there's logs falling out of the lake, falling upside down out of the lake and everything. So another really funny one is there's just this grandma in a chair, and you know, she, same thing where she's got like a cotton candy poof for hair in the fluffy dimension and all that stuff. But then for time dimension, the only thing that changes is if you look at the background very closely, you can see the Grim Reaper appears in the background.
Oh, no.
I was just like, holy crap.
I know, so the heavy dimension tends to make people look like bikers or like maybe like you know, heavy metal enthusiasts.
Yeah, heavy metal, emo, there's emo stuff. It also, like, in one, there's a character that's holding a balloon, and in heavy dimension, it's, like, fallen on his head because it's made of metal, that sort of thing. Yeah, the metal tends to be either, like, darker or more, like, yeah, goth-ish.
Huh.
But it's just, when I first discovered that, I ran back through all the rooms and just looked at every portrait I could find in every dimension that I could find. Because it's just really, really entertaining and interesting to see. It had to be fun for whatever designer did all those pictures to come up with all the variants on the theme. But it's just that, you know, all the furniture changes in the same way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's so many nice little touches, including the way the narrator or the professor interacts with you. I know we've talked a little bit about it, but he also functions as the hint system.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you take too long or if you get confused or kind of lost, he'll start making allusions that kind of help guide you along, but they're always subtle. And it took me forever to realize that it was actually a hint system. In the same way, it took me a while to realize that the pictures changed, just because it felt so natural and it never occurred. It just felt like my uncle getting impatient with me, rather than like the game trying to guide me along. So it's incredibly well written, and it just functions really well as in the gameplay as well.
I do have to say, why can I not buy a stuffed animal Ike?
Yes,
that's the cat.
Yeah,
the interdimensional kinetic entity.
Entity, yeah.
Who is also, I posted on the Facebook wall, who is also secretly Nightmare Fuel. So secretly, like, there's he kind of serves as the person that hands you the batteries that allow you to control the dimensions in a lot of parts of the game. And for the original part of the game, he'll like laugh and wave at you when you take the dimension from him, or, you know, just kind of yawn and pop away into another dimension. But then later on in the game, he starts doing, like, he'll look angry and like roar at you or just start doing weird things that kind of creep you out, and you're always waiting for him to almost turn on you. You know, it's always like, oh, thanks, guy. You know, I don't want to stand too close to you here.
Huh. I'm really surprised that I hadn't heard about this, because it sounds like it's something, you know, that I would have heard about.
Anyone who liked Portal should buy this game.
Yeah.
It's very much straight up.
It's $15 on every platform, so check it out. We're going to need to move on because of my hard stop, so I apologize for rushing it. But let's go on, Dennis. What you been playing?
Yeah. So I'll be really quick. It was a nice segue because the Quantum Conundrum is free to PlayStation Plus members, which I took the plunge and I do not regret it at all. I actually was only going to talk about Quantum Conundrum and Outland, which I'll touch on right now, but there are several other games that I've played and several other games that I have yet to download that I'm going to play.
Do you get the whole back catalog of stuff they've offered on PSN Plus?
No, so not the entire back catalog. You get the 12 that are available now, and then you'll get and you get to keep those as long as you have the service.
Okay.
I actually have some downloads from when I had PlayStation Plus as a trial that I can now get again for free.
Oh, nice.
Because the idea is, if you cancel your subscription, you can't get the games again, but they will stay available so that if you ever reactivate your subscription, you can get it again. So I've got like Magic: The Gathering Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Right.
Not downloaded, but available to me for free.
Cool.
Because I got that during my trial. Anyway, so I'll be kind of doling out games from Plus over the next couple of weeks, because I'm sure it'll dominate what I'm playing. So I beat Quantum Conundrum. It's awesome. Buy it. The other game that I'm playing is Outland, which is a 2D platformer, which centers around your character flipping back and forth between dark and light versions of himself. And most of the enemies in the game are dark or light, and the light form of you is immune to light damage but can't damage light enemies. Dark form immune to dark damage but can't damage dark enemies.
It's like Ikaruga.
I think. Yeah. I don't know anything about that game, but I've heard its name in connection with Outland before. Yes. So it's kind of action and puzzle all in one, 2D platformer. It's very well made. The visual style is very distinct. Everything's in silhouette with these dark or light highlights,
right?
Which is really cool to see. And I think that the game just has a really strong identity that way. It lets you do things like kick off walls and all that stuff, so you can run fast and do all these ninja-y things, which is a lot of fun. Except the levels seem just not quite designed to enable it to the extent I would want. So there's a bunch of ledges or platforms where I can like kick off a wall and not quite land on it, but mantle it and then get up. Okay. Whereas if it was just a little bit lower, I could do like a kick off the wall and keep on running and jump to the next thing. So anytime you give someone the ability to like jump off a wall and swing a sword, you want to feel like a ninja. And this game just falls one step short of that.
Bummer.
Which is a real shame. It doesn't get in the way of the game. It's a bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Now it looks cool. It looks distinctive. Like by the description you gave, it makes it sound like Limbo visually, but that isn't the sense that I get from looking at the, it looks more colorful than that.
Things are in silhouette, but there's a lot of, the background is very colorful and so there's a lot of light and, or red and blue, light and dark, highlights to the game. So I've gotten through the first two bosses. There's a big difficulty jump between the first boss and the second boss. The second boss took me a long time to beat, but it's fun. I'm playing it, and I think that's all I've got to say about it so far.
Huh, not bad for free.
Not bad for free at all. So, I think Ben is left, right?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, so I have one tiny, one medium, and one large game that I've been playing. The tiniest games that I played is I played Frog Fractions upon your recommendation from last week. I went down when I got the dragon. Yeah, fantastic game. One review I read of it is, now we know what it would look like if David Lynch made a video game. Fantastic. Yeah. So check it out. It's worth a 30-minute time investment.
I'm so happy somebody played it. I was waiting for it this whole episode.
Man. Yeah. Anyway.
I have a note in my phone to play it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
It's excellent. Very different. The medium-sized game, I played COD Blobs. I played some of the zombie modes with my brother. So I think I covered most of it yesterday. There's a bus. You get a different settings. One thing that's new that we've been trying to do is in one of the five settings, it's the town, and there's a bank in it. And so one cool feature that they have is you can – any points that you have, you can invest in this bank, and it carries over so that you can pick it up at any other time. So it's a kind of a persistent bank. And also in that place, if you have – this is kind of complicated. If you have somebody in another area who sets a power generator near a specific spot, you can go lower into the bank and build a pack-a-punch, which is a machine that upgrades your gun. And so that has been what we have been trying to do as of late, is to build that and get better guns. Man. So –
So none of this carries over from session to session.
No. So you could build except a pack a punch. Except for the bank. You could build a pack a punch one round, and it will very much be destroyed the next round, and you have to rebuild it. So it's interesting, though. I mean, even though that sounds frustrating, it definitely prolongs the life of the game because it gives you something to shoot for, and it it takes a while before you can get it.
I see what you did there.
Anyway. there's also a couple other things that we haven't even tried yet. There's a couple different guns that you can try and get. but you have to pick up the parts for these guns in the areas between the five areas that you normally go. There are these fog areas that are hard to get through because things jump on you. But yeah, so it's a really nice multiplayer system because there's a lot to it and they don't explain it to you. So it's a lot of fun figuring out the different things that you can do with it. So that was my medium size. And then the last thing I got is I've been playing Assassin's Creed 3. It's pretty awesome. I think it's won me over. I may even try to 100% it, dare I say.
Do they have the feathers? I think in 2 they had feathers. Were like the collectibles that were just everywhere and really hard to find.
They also have feathers in this one, since the protagonist is Native American. Of course, that makes sense. Right? I don't know. Whatever. there's also miscellaneous collectibles that serve to only be collectibles, like pages from Ben Franklin's Almanac.
Yeah.
You can go around and collect. That serve no purpose except for you can collect them, and so you can collect them.
Wait, are they actually like replications of...
I don't think so.
Because I know the games that we talked about last week are authentic.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I've been playing that still. The story's progressing well. It's interesting so far. One thing I will say, the naval battles totally live up to the hype.
Awesome.
They were a lot of fun.
I'm so excited about those.
I've played 2 of them. Both of them were definitely highlights of the experience I've played so far, but man, that's really cool. So controlling a ship is a lot of fun with how they present it in that game.
Awesome.
So that's what I've been playing.
Neat.
Any questions on Ask Creed Trey? Or...
I like that. That's good. Ask Creed Trey.
This is going to be a thing now, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Just like the COD Blops, you know, which I think both of them sprung up from the same impetus. So, yeah. from what I understand, like my old store, like the district, the COD Blops like bug had spread from that winter to where like the. That just became what people would say, so people would call us from other stores saying, "Do you have COD Blops?"
Yes. Infected.
Awesome. Yeah. So can we extend this? So like, can Quantum Conundrum be like QuantCon or something? I don't know.
I was hoping you wouldn't go the other way.
Multiplayer.
So it's time for multiplayer. This week's prompt was now that the holiday release deluge is over, I think the only game coming out is Far Cry 3 as far as AAA games go. Now that this is all over, all the games that are coming out this year, pretty much out, what is the game that you are most looking forward to? So we wanted to hear what you had to say. And let's take a look here. This was on Twitter, but you can get a hold of us anyway on our Facebook group, facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, or at duckfeed.tv/contact. Let us see here. Sam, also known as, let me see here, Lanky Sam on Twitter, says, I've got high hopes for The Witness. Just a few more months, probably. Hopefully. Maybe. I want that
definitely
game so bad.
Definitely not.
It looks so good, and based on my previously stated affection for Myst and the fact that this also takes place on a deserted island, I want that really, really badly.
It's almost like I got really excited for it and it's kind of fallen off my radar, and so I think I've avoided the hype machine, and I'm really looking forward to it as well.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it'll come out. I think it's coming out on consoles now. Like, he initially said, no, don't do it, and then they did it. So, yeah. And also Tribute, T-R-I-B-U-U-T, on Twitter, says, probably the Banner Saga. The beta so far has been very promising. From the big games, only BioShock Infinite, which is actually my answer, honestly. That's like the one that I'm really looking forward to. The only one I know of, actually, like that, and Tomb Raider. Both.
Oh, when does Tomb Raider come out?
Like spring of this year. The Banner Saga, that was like a Kickstarter project. It's like a it's a real time tactical combat kind of game, kind of like I guess not real time, but it's like a Final Fantasy Tactics, and that it's grid based. And nice. it's got graphics that kind of look like, if I'm being honest, it looks kind of like Dragon's Lair. It looks really, really cool. Yeah. So I can see why he would be excited about that. Just kind of rapid fire as we kind of like go around. I've already said mine. Like, what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out in Q1 of this year or this coming year?
For me, it is Far Cry 3, actually. I think the game looks incredible. And if you follow it at all, just the character and the story of it seems to be really good. And it seems to have held up to all the hype. So that'll probably be my next purchase, even though I don't plan on purchasing anything anytime soon.
Right.
That'll probably be my next purchase.
Yeah. Ben?
I'm going to get Hitman after I finish Assassin's Creed 3. But what I'm looking forward to... Yeah. But I am looking forward to Grand Theft Auto in March.
Yeah, that's so. Coming up quicker than we think.
Maybe. Yeah. Hopefully.
How about you, David?
At least short term, Metro Last Light.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That does look good.
That is a thing.
Yeah, I played a little bit of 2033. It was kind of epic, so.
Huh.
We shall see.
Neato.
So, bringing back Nazis.
Well, it's a Russian game, so they have investment in that.
Right.
Neat. Cool. So thank you so much, both Tribute and Lanky Sam, for responding to the prompt. I'm going to try and be better about putting these out over the weekend so you have time to respond to us. It was kind of a last minute thing. Also, if you would like to email us, just do it at level@duckfeed.tv in order to get in here. We'd like to, just if you have questions, every other video game podcast takes listener mail. We want it too. God damn it. So write us and we will talk about what you say when we're not in a time crunch like I am now. So I apologize.
The end boss.
So end bosses. Does anybody want to go first? Because I've got one now that Dennis has prompted me.
Yeah, actually, I don't have one. So my contribution is through Cole.
Okay. Well, but like both of us are kind of in a similar situation, except moving
this
in opposite directions.
Yeah, I guess that does count as an end boss. So we'll kind of do it in code. Go ahead and talk about yours, and I'll tag on.
So I found a thread on Something Awful in the Serious Hardware and Software Crap subforum. That's like the mega thread. It's like a sticky thing about I need a new PC. Help. It's been a long time since I've had a dedicated gaming PC, but the Steam sale has really kind of brought out a need in me to have like a gaming PC, which unfortunately at this point means needing to have a Windows machine. There are plenty of games that run on Mac, and it's getting like a lot easier and better to like be what I am, and the two irreconcilable parts of my life, my Mac fandom and my video game fandom. But I bought The Witcher 2 for $7.50 or something like that on the Steam sale. It's like, will it run on my machine? No. My machine isn't very old, etc. So I started putting together my fantasy machine based on this thread's input. And it's like, it would only be like $900 and it would run everything that I would ever want to play. Do I want it? Do I not? And, kind of like what I came to was, if I wasn't buying a new MacBook Pro in the spring, I would, or in the summer rather, I would be more willing to put that money in. But right now, maybe not. I don't know. But it would be nice to play PC games.
That sounded like it was hard to taste bitter coming out of that mouth.
It's I don't know. I love Macs and I love Mac computers, but just to round out my experience, I look at it this way. I own every console right now except for a Wii U, right? And it's kind of like you can get into a really good machine. Like, I don't want to play like Crysis 3 on the highest settings, but it would be really cool if I could play The Witcher 2, because that looks like a game I would really like. And you can achieve that for a relatively low cost, which I would like to do. So it's kind of like if you bought an Xbox 360 right now or a PlayStation 3 right now, you would have a lot of like really cheap, good games to play that you wouldn't have had access to before.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my philosophy on it. And you, Dennis, you're looking at getting a Mac, right?
I am. So, you know, I talked 2 weeks ago about kind of thinking about asking for a PlayStation Vita for Christmas. And I also just threw several different for several different reasons, and also now looking at potentially getting a Mac as a gift. So we'll see. I mean, one of the reasons is I just don't have a personal computer right now. The one I have is completely busted, no video card, and basically is a word processor that will not actually start. You have to like do this weird random hotkey thing to get it to boot up. Don't ask. Yeah, it's bad. So, you know, as you've just stated, a Mac is not really ideal for gaming, but it's certainly a step up from what I have now.
It is the best experience you can have as like a general use. I'm going to live my life on this computer machine.
Yeah, which is what I want right now.
Right.
Because, you know, I've got my PS3 for my most of my gaming needs.
And like I got tons of shit that I play on my Mac. So you're not like you're not sequestering yourself to to
the known games. A lonely existence.
Yeah, to the no game zone.
No, you're just sequestering yourself to whatever Apple will let you use.
Pretty much, yeah. But
it's far from avoided. One thing, I will not put the sticker on the back of my car window.
No, only douche nozzles do that. So
right,
douche nozzle.
Yeah, that's a thing. Don't worry.
Google it. Actually, don't Google it.
No.
Google image it.
So yeah. Yeah, no. If you do end up taking the plunge, if you are fortunate enough to receive a Mac, talk to me about it, and I'll get you hooked up with the best apps.
It might be a birthday thing, so February rather than a Christmas thing. But yeah, it's on the horizon. I think
I will be your Sherpa up Mount Macintosh.
I will accept the guidance gladly, but that's my end-boss thing.
Ben, David, what up?
My end boss is job interview in 2 days.
Oh yeah. So. Like, I don't know if you can, or if you should say like who it is, but it's pretty exciting, right?
It's pretty exciting. We'll reveal it at another time if things turn out. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, and I'm sure everybody listening wishes you the best of luck.
Much thanks.
Yeah. David, round us out.
I don't know if we used this before, but, the GRE is, BS.
There are no GRE prep games. There's like those like My English Coach games for DS, but no GRE prep.
When am I ever going to use like basic arithmetic or particularly geometry? I mean, I've made it through 5 years of engineering college and a year and several months of engineering, and I've never used them.
You're hurting my soul right now, David.
I mean, like to figure out square footage and stuff like that, like, you know.
Or if these two lines are parallel, what is this angle?
Yeah, that's like soup's easy.
No, it's not. see, my thing, I suck at arithmetic. I suck at, math that isn't conceptual.
Do they let you have like a TI-83? Well, not TI-83, but like a, just like a regular scientific calculator.
You have an online calculator, but it's, imagine if you, took like the Windows calculator and made it user unfriendly.
Wait a minute. So it's online. Do you take it on their computers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But it's set up so that you don't need to use the calculator, right?
Right.
No, it's set up so that you don't need to use the calculator.
I see. Yes.
Yeah. See, like I literally, I can barely, add and stuff without a calculator simply because I don't see any reason to learn. I just don't.
There's this
see
thing called
any.
The GRE, and
well, I mean, in real life, anytime I'm going to need to solve these things, I will have a calculator.
Well, it's like they let kids, or some schools are letting kids have their smartphones out during tests, because the idea is that if you know how to look up the information and get it right, then that is functional for real life.
Do you not calculate your change?
I either feel it's not worth it, round up on tips to like 20%, or I actually have a calculator on my cell phone I use for tips.
Huh. Well, you should be tipping 20% as a baseline anyway, unless they royally screw you, in which case you go 15. But
I'm glad we have the same tipping stance. Cool.
Yeah, it's 20% at restaurants and $1 per drink at a bar. That's just courtesy. Yep.
See, I generally do 20% with a dollar as the absolute minimum.
That makes sense. Yeah, like if you get coffee, it needs to be like $1 per time they bring you.
Yeah.
A cup. Right. But it's good that we all agree, because I don't know if I would be able to continue to do a podcast with somebody. Mr. Pink.
You're off.
Well, I do have to say, I think the idea of tipping is retarded, but I recognize that if I don't tip, the people aren't going to get paid a decent amount.
Yeah.
Like, I think they should just pay them a decent amount. But
in Germany, they already have the tip built into the price.
Yep.
See, I love that. Like, most people hate that. That makes my day when people do that. Yeah. Because, again, something I don't care about calculating.
Yeah.
But they also have asshole waitresses and waiters.
because they know that they don't have to work for it.
Exactly.
I like it when I'm in a big group and they're just like, okay, 18.5% gratuity on there, especially when it's clearly advertised. Yeah.
Do you follow the rule? The one rule I feel like is really good is the rule of thumb. Any time service was bad enough to not leave a tip, service is bad enough to speak to the manager.
I never talked to the manager, but then again, I've not had a terrible experience yet. Like,
yeah, I would say. I can't recall that I ever have, other than speaking to the manager to tell them that the service was good.
Yeah, that's something I attempt to do. Like, at the very least, I will tell somebody, like, hey, I really appreciated you doing this. Not like talking to the manager to say it, but just like saying it to a person, because, you know, when you work in the service industry, you know, positive feedback isn't a thing that happens ever.
Yeah.
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 I cannot figure it out. Our local Subway has quite possibly the best, like, waiter people who ever working there of almost any restaurant I've ever been in. It's like, why are you people working at a Subway?
See, that's a shame. Like, where good service is immediately cause for us to question their existence. Like, are you some kind of unicorn? So yeah, the credits. What can you do? Real quick. You can rate us and review us on iTunes. We are up. It took me throwing a fit, but we got up there. I don't know why it took so long.
Thanks for fighting that battle.
Yes, no, not a problem. They were very, very nice when I emailed them. But yeah, you can go there, rate and review us. It's really important that we blitz it early so we can get on the new and noteworthy. So everybody who's anybody should be like reviewing it. Or at least, you know, leaving a rating or a review. To participate in the multiplayer, you can contact us either on, you know, my Twitter when I put out the stuff, the Facebook group, facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, or at duckfeed.tv/contact, where you can write into us and we will read your mail on the air and respond to it.
Look for prompts on Twitter and on the Facebook page.
Yes. Yes. You will see them when they happen. Other than that, those participation bits, telling friends, et cetera, to, important things, you know, since it's the holidays, people are doing shopping, et cetera, the Amazon link at duckfeed.tv/tipjar, where you can use our Amazon referral link and, buy whatever you were going to buy, and we get a kickback. That goes a long way towards covering the blog hosting, the episode hosting, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's nice to have that be a thing. Also, as like one final note, there are more ways to listen to the show now than ever. And in addition to iTunes and, you know, subscribing to us via RSS or downloading directly from the site, streaming from the site, we are now on Stitcher Smart Radio, which is another streaming service where you can download an app for your smartphone, listen to stuff live there. So if you've been listening, you know, if you're not an iTunes person, that is a completely valid way for you to hear what we're doing. So that is Stitcher.com. You can download the app, look for the level. All of the DuckFeed.tv shows are on there. Watch out for Fireballs, The Pitch, those damn Ross kids. It's all there and it's all good. So check us out. And we want to meet you where you are. So if there's a way that you would like to listen to us that you can't, let us know and we will try and be there. So did I miss anything, fellas?
I think that's it. We can give out Twitter hashtags as we go around, perhaps.
Yes, we can do that. So I am,
names, not hashtags.
Yes. So I am Cole Ross, your host. I'm at Cole Ross, K-O-L-E-R-O-S-S on Twitter.
I am Dennis Furia. I am at D Furia.
David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777.
And Ben Merkel at Merkelizer.
Awesome. So thank you so much. And come back next week and participate in a multiplayer. All of that. Good night. It's the holiday time, you know, we're getting up there, and I have to say, if you're going to jingle, you might as well jingle all the way.
Wow.
I hadn't thought about Sinbad in so long.
That's where I was going next. There.
Looks like I'm going to be making Good Burger references for the rest of these podcasts.
Was he in Good Burger?
I believe so. He wasn't the neighbor whose mailbox was broken by the one person and he had to get the job to repair it?
I think so, yeah. Let me see here. I know that Abe Vigoda was in Good Burger. He was the fry chef. But was Neil Patrick Harris the bad guy in that?
I don't think so. I thought it was a no name, but
yeah, he was NPH-esque. There we go.
When it was Mondo Burger, right? Wasn't that the name of that?
Yeah. He was the villain.
I have an idea for a game now. Good Burger Trivia.
I've never seen that.
You're better either, for it.
Sinbad was in Good Burger. Yeah. Wow. Let me see here. The Mondo Burger. Here we go. Jan Schweiterman as Kurt Boswell. Or sorry, I guess Jan. Would be in that case, not Jan. Kurt Boswell, the CEO and restaurant owner of Mondo Burger, who will stop at nothing, Lebowski, to make his food chain number one. Wow, yeah.
All right. I got some Good Burger cred this week. I'm happy about that.
Good Burger. That's as good as currency, okay?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like your gamer score.
As good as Bitcoins.